old time of reflection, and it led perfectly into this sermon. I titled this sermon today, Wake Us From This COVID Trance. And it's because, like many of you, life is a little despairing right now. Someone once wrote, an optimist is one who believes he lives in the best of all worlds. A pessimist fears that this is true. And Charlie Brown in the Peanuts comic strip says, there's no problem so big that I cannot run away from it. Sometimes what we feel like doing is running away. This week, I have read a number of articles online from experts who are trying to deal with our emotional response to this COVID situation. One person writes that negative feelings and experiences are associated with prolonged isolation that'll come to all of us. I know that there are families that are sequestered together. And as they are, they have some relationship. I live alone. And so it's me to me. But whatever your situation is, the world has shrunk for you. And this coronavirus pandemic is an unprecedented moment in all of our lives. The impact on the financial and social activities of our lives, this isolation of our bodies and minds, is something that many people are studying, because there's so much growth of depression and anxiety during these times. Someone wrote that people are getting lethargic because they don't have enough positive inputs. Their world has shrunk, and they forget. And so we turn on old episodes of The Rifleman or some dumb black and white show, and we don't know why. You see, one of the experts in the University of Houston says we can expect depression to kick in. And depression and anxiety are kissing cousins. So where there is depression, there's also anxiety. We get anxious. And this is not something that we haven't studied. You know, physical researchers have tested the body's reaction to people who are participating in simulations such as space travel, where they are alone, confined to a space. And they say that these participants, isolated for only 3 months, experiences changes to sleep, changes to their immune system, to their endocrine system, and to their neurocognitive systems. So if you're forgetting things more, part of it is COVID. Alterations to their metabolisms. Their bodies don't even feel right. Other articles have suggested that we need to remind ourselves that we're not alone in this. That we need each other, and we shouldn't leave one another out. That's why I'm so excited that our children's ministry did a drive-by vacation Bible school. Because at least we got to wave to one another through masks. And that was the highlight of my week that week. We have to figure out creative ways to keep in touch with one another, whether it's dropping cookies off at someone's doorstep or just a little note through the mail. I love that our deacons are checking in with us and wanting to know. Church is not this building. Church is who we are to one another. In fact, Paul, when he writes to Romans, suggests that they get along with one another because there's some enmity. And that throughout the book, between the old Jewish Christians and the new Gentile Christians, there is conflict. But he says that the house churches, and Scholars estimate there maybe were 5 house churches, and none had more than 12 or 13 people, maybe. It was not a huge group of people. It was people being church to one another. And we continue. One article talked about the stock market and how it is in the biggest decline in decades, and the financial hardships that are overloading people. And then what we do is we turn to articles like I did, and we're overloaded by information about COVID, none of which really helps us. You see, reducing anxiety won't only make this difficult time more bearable, but it will help keep you physically healthy and your immune system strong. You know, as I read these articles, I thought to myself, we need one another. And that's what Paul writes. In the chapter we're facing today, which is probably my favorite chapter in the New Testament, it is right in the center of Romans. It is one of the favorite and most spoken about. And so here, these words from Romans 8, and I'm only going to talk about 26 to 39, but you got to go back and read the whole chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And then this great comforting verse. "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn within a large family. And to those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then are we to say about these things?" Paul asks. "For if God is for us, who can be against us? He who is not withholding His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. So who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword or even COVID-19? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced," this is Phil's favorite passage. He wants to do it in every memorial service. "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, even COVID, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Will you pray with me? Lord God, as we look at this passage that is so heartfelt, so powerful as a reminder of your love, so soothing to the anxiety of our days, Lord, open our hearts to it. Beyond all the anxiety, beyond all the social distancing, beyond all limitations of our lives right now. Help us to know that you are God. We are your people. Give us that confidence. Remind us of our strength in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's COVID. It's become a mantra. A mantra that we speak out because when we're anxious, when we miss something, when something goes awry, it's because of COVID. It's a shorthand way of saying, you know, we can't be normal right now. And so sometimes we need somebody to wake us up, go, hello, hello, get your mind straight. And Paul does this in Romans 8. He lets us know that the scripture is a mantra. It's a response to someone who needs to be encouraged, who needs to be strengthened. Hello is another way of saying, is anyone out there? Are you listening to me? Can you hear what's going on? Hello might let people know that they've missed the point of your discussion and you've got to go back, or they're misunderstanding what you're saying. And in these times, I find people's nerves are a little on edge and they respond a little strongly. Look at all the demonstrations that are happening. Look at the anxieties of people. And Paul's words comfort us. He reminds us that this COVID experience should not be responsible for us shrinking in size or shirking our duties or shivering or sniveling or anything. He says we need to be strong and love one another. And in Romans 8:28, there's probably the biggest hello in all the Bible. Hello, we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. So if you're worried about your family or about clients or about your work, if you're worried about the security of your job, the state of your finances, put them in God's hands. As Paul says, all things work together. I don't know how that all works out. It's just a matter of trusting God. And whether we're worried or not, why all this anxiety that's pouring out over political issues, over ideas? What is the anger that's pouring out? We need to say to one another that nothing separates us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. The church of all places should not panic. Hello? The problem is, sometimes we need to remind ourselves that God is not a small God. God is huge. And he's allowed salvation to be experienced by anyone who calls on his name. Yes, we're missing hugs and smiling faces. I would love to have a passing of the peace again and hug a bunch of you. It would fill me. It bodily fills me. But we can't do that right now. And church is still happening. It happens because the church is not this building. It's not the place we come to. Too often we confuse church with an address. But the church is the people. You know the old saying, here's the church and here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. It's people. So now that we can't sequester, I'm so proud of people who are writing to one another, who are calling one another, who are checking in. I'm so excited about cookies that I've received. I said, received too many to eat. So don't bake me any more cookies. But the truth is, it's great to hear that someone thinks about me. It's great for me to connect with someone else. That's church. And so in this Facebook, set notes to one another. Be talking. You know, it's the transformative power of God that enables us to associate with the sacrifice of Christ and to not allow ourselves to fall prey to the clutches of evil or despair. You see, God continues with us. And Paul reminds us, we'll not be overcome. You know, this week, if you are feeling down, look up St. Patrick's Prayer and just spend a little time reading it. God before me, God above me, God below me, God beside me, and read the thing. You see, our lives need to train themselves toward the light of Christ. Bonhoeffer wrote, "This is the only God who counts. Christ on the cross is not a mere theological precondition for salvation. He is God's enduring word to the world, saying, 'See how much I love you.'" Wow. God is with us. Wherever we are, that's what Paul's message is. When our faith alters, not if, not does it, but for almost everyone, there are times when we forget. We need somebody to say, "Hello, you are a Christian. You are a child of God." So does your faith falter when it contemplates the challenges that surround you during this time? Are you doubting in the face of death? Are you weak-kneed in the face of illness? Are you wimpy in the face of danger? Are you worthless in the face of adversity? Are you frozen in the face of confrontation, apathetic in the face of challenges, despairing in the face of the serpent, acquiescent in the face of greed, oblivious in the face of pollution, heartless in the face of hunger, self-absorbed in the face of homelessness, whining in the face of hardship? Hello? These are exactly the circumstances that enable Christians to live out Paul's message with confidence. So what is it that's in your face right now? Hello? In the face of death, there is resurrection. In the face of illness, there is eternal healing. In the face of danger, there is the right arm of God. In the face of adversity, there is a blessed assurance. In the face of confrontation, there is confidence. In the face of the serpent, there is the gift of the cross. In the face of greed, there is abundant life. There, in the face of pollution, there is a God's redemption of all creation. In the face of hunger, there is a legacy of loaves and fishes. In the face of homelessness, there is compassion. In the face of hardship, there is the promise of goodness. You are the church of Jesus Christ to your family, to your neighbors, as you live life. A Christian living in this world but not of this world is a sign of contradiction to the compromises that too many of us have settled for. We think of church as an hour a week. We think of coming to God as paying some kind of tax to God about living. Too often we forget that every day we wake, Christ in us, through us, about us, is exploring himself to the world. You see, this foolishness of a cross, it has been written by Jim Wallace, is the greatest threat to the system, to any system And as it is the existence of fools who do not believe in the ultimate reality of the system. Jim Wallace is saying, we are to be different. We are to be the people of God. We are to care about one another. We are God's family. There was a hesitant driver waiting for this traffic to clear, and he came to a complete stop on the freeway ramp. The traffic thinned, but the intimidated driver still waited. Finally, an infuriated voice yelled from behind, "The sign says to yield, not to give up." Don't give up, brothers and sisters. Don't give up. Live in the hope of Jesus Christ. Let his love cover you like a warm blanket on a cold night, like the sun shining on a beautiful day, like the hug of a loved one. Let God guide and lead you. Amen? Amen.